him. It tells how good he is, how powerful he is, how merciful he is. The wisdom of God, it's all about him. Glory to the Lamb. Praise the Lord. You may be seated this morning. We are so thankful for you being here. It's just wonderful to come together as a body of believers and worship him together. Sister Angela says something so good during the open. She said, opening, she just said, enter into the opportunity. You know, it's an opportunity to worship the Lord, but you got to actually walk into it. Hallelujah. He is good. Well, we're going to ask you, if you would, please remember to give of your tithe and offering. We always need your help. And as I'm making that statement, let me also say thank you to all of those that so consistently give in support of this ministry. I appreciate it very much. We are doing, this is a small church, but we have a large reach. And we're touching people literally. This is not just words I'm throwing out. Literally all over the world, we are touching people. And blessing lives and making a difference. And that was the last thing that Jesus told us before he left. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And to the ability that we have, we are doing just that. So thank you very, very much. Amen. In the book of Genesis chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1, you may have wondered from time to time, why does Satan hate you so bad? How many know that Satan hates you? The thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. He wants to make you miserable. He wants to make your children miserable. He wants to wreck you financially. He wants to torment you mentally. He wants to damage you any way that he can. And the question this morning is, why does he hate us so bad? Well, we don't have to go further than the first chapter of Genesis to find that answer. Beginning with verse 26, God has worked for 5 days creating the creation. And this is the sixth day. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you this morning for your presence. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you, O God, for that infinite love that you have showered us with and continually shower us with. We'd ask you this morning, Father, that you would bless those that give here in the worship room across the internet in support of this ministry, that we might continue propagating the gospel of Christ around the world. And Father, I ask you this morning that you would use me in the time that I have, that you would help me to make a certain sound, Lord, in answering the question, why does Satan hate us so bad? We ask you to help us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Is there anybody confused about the fact that Satan hates you? He hates you passionately, and there may be times in your life that you wonder, why does he hate the human race so bad? And the answer is that you are an image bearer. You bear the image of God. You are created in his image. It's not about you at all. It's a war between Satan and God. We just happen to be the battleground. But you bear the image of God. We read here in this first statement, and God said, let us make man in our image. It means that the Godhead, before Adam was ever created, in the heart of the Godhead, he wanted a creation that bore his image, that was like him, made in his likeness. Now understand, when we say that, we're not saying that he gave you two arms and two legs and a head because that's like him, because God doesn't have a body. God is a spirit. But he made you like him spiritually. He gave you a set of morals that was consistent with his. He gave you a sense of responsibility, which God is the single most responsible being that there is. Notice how we never have a day that, oh, I forgot to make the sun rise. We can set our clocks on his sense of responsibility. He wanted a people. He wanted a creation that was in his image. Not your physical frame. Not how you look to one another through our eyes. You'll notice that at the fall, that Adam, his physical body didn't change at the fall, because his physical body is not the image of God. It's that that God puts on the inside. And we find that as soon as God created Adam, and Adam was there in his created in his own image, that almost immediately Satan came into the garden. I've read after several theologians, and most think that it was within 40 days of Adam's creation. And whether that's true or not, we don't know, but we do know it was before they started making babies. Because the first baby they made was marred in its image. The morals weren't there. Cain was the world's first murderer, and he murdered his own baby brother. That lets us know that man was marred from the very beginning. God didn't create us this way. Satan came in and he caused Adam to fall. And in that, he twisted the image of God in us. Now, we still carry the image of God to some degree, but it's not the pristine image that we were created with. We're not like him in terms of the way that he created us. If you will remember in the scripture, Jesus told a parable of the tares. He said, a certain man planted seed in his garden. And while he slept, an enemy came in and planted tares amongst the wheat. He's telling us what happened in creation. Now, the thing about a wheat plant and a tare plant, when you look at them, they look exactly the same. But one of them actually produces fruit. The other one produces nothing. And when you look at the human race today, there is what Genesis called the seed of the woman, and there is the seed of the serpent. We look absolutely the same. But all of us don't carry, let me say it differently. Some of us are not concerned about carrying the image of God. When you look at our culture today, our whole culture is set to destroy the image of God in you. The whole LGBTQ transgender movement is an affront to the creation order. It is an attempt to twist the image of God that is within mankind. Satan has always used the outliers of society, that the Satanists and the those who practice the black arts. He's always used those, but now he's using governments to mar the image of God within people. Laws and legislation is being made that if we're going to be a good citizen of man's society, that there has to be a twisting on the inside. And suddenly when Adam was in the garden and him and his wife Eve ate of the forbidden fruit, we see Adam, he's suddenly different. His morals are no longer like God. He was protective of his wife. Now he throws her under the bus when God asks what happened. It was her. She did it. His responsibility for stepping up and taking care of his wife, it was marred. It was gone. And this is what Satan is trying to do to each and every one of you. And let me just say this. Culture is your enemy. Culture is your enemy. And I'm going to say this as well. Politics is your enemy. It will twist you on the inside until you express yourself unlike the image of God. That's what it's made for. That's how it's being used by the enemy. And we as God's people have to be very concerned that we not only walk in the image of God, but we allow that image not to decrease, but to increase. So that the image of God is, you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. When people look upon us, they should see the image of God. When Jesus came to this planet, people could tell, man has never spake like this man. They could tell he was different than others. And the writer of Hebrews said he was the express image of God, the brightness of his glory. And God wants us to be competent image bearers. Now, you can't do it yourself. You have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. Because it is the Holy Spirit who produces the fruit of the Spirit, which is the characteristics of Jesus Christ. That is the image of God being built in you, but too often we don't prioritize that in our lives. We have an attitude sometimes of, well, you know, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. And that's the wrong attitude, and ultimately it will get you in trouble. A fearful price was paid for your soul. Get that. A horrific and fearful price was paid. Had Jesus not paid the price for our sin, no one else could have paid it. Because our sin was not just a little misstep. It was not just a little personal peeve. But it was a sin against an infinite being. God is infinite. That being the case, the only payment that could wipe it away had to be made by an infinite being. So Jesus put on flesh, and he came and paid an infinite price for you and I. And so we should take very seriously the image of God. Isn't it amazing how in the very first chapter of the Bible, he proclaims more than once, over and again, that man is made in the image of God. He gave the likeness of this, I believe it's in Jeremiah. He told Jeremiah to go look at the pot that the potter was making. And he said, but the vessel was marred in the potter's hands. That's what happened to the human race. As God, no sooner had he just created us than we were marred in the garden. And now through the work of Calvary, the potter has started over and he's making a new vessel. And he's molding us and making us. He does it by the virtue of the Holy Spirit who brings conviction upon our heart. Sometimes the Holy Spirit makes us feel bad. Am I the only one? Sometimes the Holy Spirit comes in and it convicts you and it disrupts us. And on the inside, that's because the potter's making a new vessel and he puts his hand on the inside of the vessel. You see, that's what you have to understand. Culture is trying to change you from the outside in. But God is trying to change you from the inside out to recreate that perfect, pristine image of God in your life. He does it through the Holy Spirit. He does it through the Holy Ghost. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? If we push off the convictions of the Holy Spirit, who is trying to bring us into Christ-likeness, we're basically refusing to be made in the image of God, to be remade, to be renovated into the image of God. And it can cause us great, great problems. See, you can come to church and look like a wheat and be a tear. But you need to read the rest of that parable. God said, just let them grow till the harvest. Just let them grow till the harvest. Because in just a few days, we're going to find out who's saved. Yeah, in just a few days, we're going to find out who's been walking with God. Who's been denying themselves and taking up the cross and walking after him. We're going to find out in a few days. You see, the image of God cannot be counterfeited. You can counterfeit Christianity. No, you can walk into any church. Just wait to see when everybody else raises their hand and raise yours. Wait till you hear somebody else say amen and you know you learn how to say amen. That's just mimicking. But brother, when you get saved, and you get saved for real, there's something on the inside. Hallelujah. Make his changes on the outside. Amen. You begin. And at first, you don't even understand what's happening. I remember when I first got saved, I was radically saved on the street. All by myself, just the power of God fell upon me. And I never had been to church before. I was 28 years old, never been to church. I didn't know what happened. But instinctively, I knew Jesus just saved me. I just knew that. And I remember those first weeks, the change was so profound. It was so deep. It wasn't just a change of habits. It was a change so deep down on the inside, it cannot be expressed. And I remember one morning, it was 2 a.m., I would wake up at night crying. I would wake up at night, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'd be crying, and I thought I was going crazy. I couldn't understand what is going on. So I called my brother in California. He had gotten saved before me. He'd been saved for a few years, and I asked him, what is going on with me? Am I broken? He said, no, you've been broken all your life. You just got fixed. Hallelujah. If I had understood then what I understand now, that God had impacted his image into my soul, and that slowly it was changing the outward man to conform to what he had done on the inside. You see, they came to Jesus one time and they said, tell us, Jesus, is it lawful for us to pay tribute to Caesar? And Jesus took the opportunity to teach us something. He said, give me that coin. He held it up before the people and he said, whose image and whose superscription is in this coin? Now, when you have a coin in those days, just like this, now, what you do is you take the silver or whatever the coin is made out of, copper, all of it's about copper now, to be honest, and you heat it up until it melts. And then you put a stamp on it and you press, and you just press it and you hold it there. And then when you lift the stamp off of it, it bears the image that you stamped into it. Are you with me? Your evening news is stamping you. Your social platforms, they're stamping you. They're putting that pressure upon you to try to make you conform to the image of what will ultimately be the Antichrist. Society is being changed right now in our image to try to image us after the beast and the mark of the beast. Because when the man of sin, when he makes his debut, there will be a good share of the population ready to greet him. Have you ever realized how irrational people are now? It's like people have gone crazy. People have always been a little off, but not like now. I was reading a paper the other day on the internet, and they had a crowd of hundreds of people. They call them the fluffies or the furries or something. They all identify as animals. And they met together in a public area. All of them was wearing dog suits and cat suits, and they identify as animals. When God created Adam, one of his likenesses of God is that he was a rational human being. But now we're being pressed. We're being stamped. And Jesus said, give me that coin. And he asked the people, and I'm asking you this morning, because that coin is you. That coin is you. Whose image and superscription has been stamped into you? The people answered him and said, that's Caesar's image in that coin. And get this, this is why it's important. He said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Render unto God that which is God's. In other words, it doesn't matter what your profession of your mouth is. Whose image do you bear? See, a sinner all day long, a sinner can say, I love Jesus and I'm saved. Can say that all day long. Whose image do you bear? Because until you've had spiritual circumcision upon the heart, the cutting back of flesh, until God, that has been rendered in your heart, you it's just a confession without any reality in it. But brother, you can know when you get saved, because all of a sudden the Holy Spirit steps in your life and he starts straightening some stuff out. Do you remember when you first got saved, the Holy Spirit was straightening almost everything out? And some of you are like that right now. Perhaps you hadn't been saved that long. Well, I remember God was rebuking me like it was almost every day I was doing something wrong. And I'll be honest, I had no idea what right was. I'd never been to church. I didn't know anything about. I remember I got saved. And back in those days, I had a lot of girlfriends because I was young. Light skin with green eyes. And I had a black book just listed up. And that was my whole life. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit steps in and says, you can't do that anymore. And he made me take my little phone book of phone numbers and throw it away. And it went so far as you got to call them up and tell them you can't see them no more. And I did. But you know, when you first start working with God, you're not, and maybe perhaps we never are, fully consistent. So it was maybe a few weeks into it. I called one of those old girls up. And I said, hey, yeah, come on over to the house. And we're sitting around. She brought some reefer with her. We're getting high. And God ain't said a word. He was silent. And we're sitting there. I'm on the couch. She's over there. We're high as a kite. And all of a sudden, I felt it. God, the Holy Ghost, stepped into the room. Saints, I was terrified. I mean, I felt his presence in the room. And it was so uncomfortable for me. I got up and walked out the house. It was my house. I left her in my house. I walked out. And when I got outside on the sidewalk, it was worse out there than it was in the room. Sometimes the Holy Spirit will step in and make corrections because he's trying to conform us. Whom he did foreknow, he did also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what he's trying to do in all of us. Don't lose track. Don't lose sight of what God is doing in you. We get involved in the little day-by-day battles. Back up and look at the big picture. I'm going to be like Jesus. He's going to make me like him. I bear the image of God. Hallelujah. You see, as Christians, many times we look at the rest of humanity and they look like us. They have two arms and two legs and a head, just like us. Well, we're not that different, is what we could erroneously presume, but we are very different from the unsaved world. I have a living spirit on the inside of me. The unsaved person does not have a living spirit. They are spiritually dead. That living spirit that the Christian has on the inside of him is in direct communion with the Creator of all things. Every day I walk, when I get up, I'm talking to God. I'm in communion with him. I don't have to call him long distance. He's right there. I got him. He's mine. I speak in a language that I never learned, as many of you do. I have spiritual organs that the unsaved person does not have. But more importantly, as the song, I have a destiny that the world cannot boast. See, that's why the world, they focus their minds on the billion-dollar lottery, the houses and the cars and all the travel that you can do. Oh, but the pleasures of sin are but for a season. And the wages of sin are eternal death. And you and I, we have this opportunity. We've been stamped with the image of God, but now to let the Master complete the good work that he's begun in us. See, our lives should not be about your career. Yes, you need a career. I'm not fighting that. You need a job. You got to have a house. You need to pay your bills. All of that is correct. But the single most important thing in your life is for the image of Christ to be better replicated within your life. To be more made more like him. Are you with me this morning? He said, render unto Caesar. If it's got Caesar's stamp in it, give it to Caesar. If it's got God's image in it, it belongs to God. Now I'm going to ask the question again. Whose image is in you this morning? Who are you being conformed to? Are you bad and getting worse? Or are you kind of good and getting better? It is quiet in this house. I don't know where you're at, but I'm going to tell you where I'm at. I'm kind of good and getting better. Hallelujah. Sanctification is working in my heart and life. I'm not who I used to be. That guy that got saved 37 years ago, I don't even like him anymore. Hallelujah. I wish I had never met him. I'm more like Jesus today than I've ever been in my life. And I've got a hope within me that when he doth appear, I shall be like him. Hallelujah. The Bible says that every man that has this hope purifies himself, even as Christ is pure. Hallelujah. I'm going to be like him. Now, it won't be but a few more minutes. You're going to find the unsaved world. They're going to be so much like Satan, they ain't even going to know. They are really, to a large degree, we are already there. They're going to have everything except horns and a tail. Where Satan ain't got those either. But they're going to be, society will have twisted them, will have perverted the image of God in them, and they will be more like Satan than they are like God. Jesus talked to, but they will be very religious. They will still be religious enough to worship the mark of the beast. Jesus said to a group of Pharisees of that day, he said, "You are of your father, the devil." These were religious men that were made to bear the image of God, but they had been so twisted in their hatred that they were more like Satan than they were like the one who created them. Saints, the image that you bear is so very important. It's so very important. Don't let it slip away. Because where this whole world is going is to the image of the beast. I'm in Revelation. When the Antichrist comes on the world stage, he will demand that an image is made, which will be called the image of the beast. Satan has always wanted an image. Satan has always wanted to be God, and God has a creation that bears his image, and Satan wants a people that bears his image, and all of culture and all of government and all of society is trying to press you now. They've got pressure on your life, pressure on your children's lives. You need to snatch that cell phone out of their hands. They are polluting your children. They are sexualizing them. They're introducing them to the powers of darkness, and you don't even know it. You need to be very aware. If you got children with phones, you need to know what's happening on that phone. They got software. Go look it up so you can know what's happening on that phone. A child now, by the time they're 18, has seen hundreds of naked women on the internet. Think about that. In the time that my father or my grandfather was raised, the first naked woman they would have seen would have been their wife. And now our children's minds, they're so sexualized, they're just almost cannot even function correctly. And it's our responsibility, because I'm not just responsible for the image of God in me. As long as my baby Shekinah was in the house, oh yeah, the image of God, you're going to come to church. You're going to find a relationship with God. You don't get a choice. Some say, "Well, I want to be God." Blah, 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 blah. You don't get a choice. Amen. It's Jesus or else Jesus. Those are your choices. I remember my first daughter that's gone on to be with the Lord now. At the time that she was 6 and 7 years old, she could quote scriptures. It was incredible how many, she could quote more scriptures than I could. But now our children are raised on our tablets and our cell phones. We don't want to worry with them, so we just, here, take this tablet, go over there and play a game. You better go see what game they're playing. Our schools now are sexualizing our children. They're teaching them about the birds and the bees before they even understand what a bird and a bee is. They're as young as 3, 4, and 5 years old. They're trying to introduce them to sexual concepts. They don't even know they're alive yet. But Satan wants the people that have his image. And he knows he has but a short time. He knows we're at the end of days. He has but a short time. And he's pouring out all of his efforts to steal, kill, and destroy. Because he's pushing for people that will take the mark of the mark in their forehead or in their right hand that will be called his people. You better wake up. Christianity is not about church on Sunday morning. It's about heaven or hell. It's about Christ-like or Satan-like. It's about the seed of the woman or the seed of the serpent. It's going to be a clear delineation. Nobody's going to, I'm going to cut, I don't like my line. I'm going to cut into this line. No, you ain't. Because Jesus Christ is the only one that can cause you to be born again. He's the only one that can translate you from the kingdom. There it is, the kingdom of darkness. God's got a kingdom of light. Satan replicates it with a kingdom of darkness. And God, in his mercy, all of us was in the kingdom of darkness, but Jesus, through his sacrifice, he began to snatch us out of the kingdom of darkness and place us in the kingdom of God. But just because you're saved doesn't mean you're Christ-like. Just because you're born again, that doesn't mean you're Christ-like. See, salvation, it happens in a second. I got saved so fast, man, I didn't know what happened. It was just mind-boggling. I knew Jesus saved me, but it was just so fast, it took me weeks to catch up. But once you get saved, then there's a process called sanctification. That's where he begins to make you, remake you into his image. That's a long process. I've been in the process for 37 years. This is all as far as I got. It takes a long time. Amen. Somebody said, you look like you're pretty good. That's because you're looking at the outside. If you were to look at the inside that me and the Holy Ghost are looking at, you'd realize I'm not like him yet. Praise the Lord. I'm just confessing for all of us because I know you're in the same boat. Saints, the image of God. The image of God. Don't forget the purpose of your call. Your call was not only so you don't go to hell. That's just a byproduct. That's just a byproduct of salvation. The real purpose of salvation was to conform you back to the image of God, to make you consistent morally, rationally, spiritually, responsibly, make you like him in those regards. Don't forget what your salvation is about. Amen. The image of God. I'm going to ask you all over the room this morning, if you would please bow your heads. Father, we just love you and thank you today. We just love you with all of our hearts. You have been so good to us. God, you've been so kind to us. When we bore the very image of your enemy, God, you've committed yourself to paying the ultimate price that you might renovate us, that you might recreate us in your own image, that you, by virtue of your Holy Spirit, might work tirelessly day after day, year after year, little by little, producing Christ-likeness within us. Father, we thank you this morning for your commitment to us. We realize you are more committed to us than we are to you. And we thank you, Lord. Come on, all over the room, would you stand to your feet? If you're able this morning. And why don't you just reach out? Having heard what you heard today, knowing where you're at, why don't you reach out and just ask the Lord, Father, I want to be like you. I've made some mistakes. I've fallen short in different areas. There's areas that I've just failed and faltered and even ignored. But God, in my heart, I want to be conformed to your image. And so I come to you this morning. Come on, just reach out to the Lord. I want to be like you. I surrender. I surrender.
Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord God. We thank you for the word. We thank you for making us, creating us in the image of you, Lord God. God, help us every day to draw closer to that image of being like Christ. Turning away from this world, hating the things of this world, repenting from all sin and all things that mar the image of God. Help us, Lord God, in our weakness. We need you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. It's an honor to be made in the image of God, but also a great responsibility. And He created us in that image. We didn't create ourselves. So we don't continue to create ourselves, but we let Him work in us by His Holy Spirit to create in us the image of Christ. And it's not just for ourselves, but it's also for others to see that you're different. He was the light of the world, but you're a little light that is to reflect His light in you. Praise God. What an honor. Praise the Lord. Well, we thank you for joining us in-house and from all around the world this morning. We will have another service at 11, so please join us for that. And if you haven't given, don't forget to do so. We do appreciate all those that give and support this ministry. So you can worship in giving, and there's ways to do that on the screen. And with that, we want to let you know we love you. God bless you, and you are dismissed. We'll see you next time.